Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabba.
So Steve from Florida, the 920, says, going to Gilly's and Fond du Lac in the summer, having a turtle hot fudge sundae and washing it down with their mint shake. Conrad, your dad is eating a sundae with a shake chaser.
That's Steve. Actually the best grasshopper, too, right there is at Gilly's.
That's a great meal if you're trying to put on weight, right? I think that sounds good. You guys, all right, you told me your favorite drink. So let's stick to music with you guys. 7,000 Apart is in the studio. Love when these guys are here. John and Amelie, and they have Jasmine with them too. She's going to sing a little backup on their next song. Just a little bit. Okay. Pace yourself. It's fine. I will too. I'll do the hey. I can do a hey. You guys have a couple big gigs coming up, I guess, huh? Opening gigs?
Yeah, we just actually opened for Bebe Rexha at Titletown, and then we're getting to open up for Ex-Ambassadors. They're doing a show over there as well.
Wow.
And yeah, they bring in national acts, which is absolutely awesome. We are, and that we get to open is so cool.
It is, and how, really do, the, cool, yeah. How are, do you make new fans then? I assume people discover you that way.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know, I guess. But
BB, we played like during the day and like at a different stage. So it wasn't as like super like connected to her. But this time we're actually going to be on the big stage and play right before Ex-Ambassadors. So that's going to be really sick. Yeah.
Are the crowds better when you play for a big name opening because they paid more?
Does we haven't done it much.
There aren't many bands that actually tour through Green Bay because it's, you kind of have to go.
Especially not pop acts.
Yeah, you kind of have to go northern like. You know, part of the U.S. and you can't really go anywhere else. So it's like a lot of bands go Milwaukee to Madison to Minneapolis.
A lot of bands skip Milwaukee too. They just do Chicago and then Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's say you guys have hit it big. You're obviously on your way. You can live wherever you want.
Uh-huh.
You got Green Bay, Sweden, New York, Paris, whatever. Where do you go?
I think we'll always have a base in Green Bay and Stockholm, no matter what, because that's where our families are.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. I think so.
But I'd like love somewhere... Yeah, that was good.
Somewhere
just
warm
say,
would be good.
As a third little place, I'd like something very warm.
All right. So without me yakking too much anymore, I don't want to run out of time. These guys are going to indulge me and play Runaway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a song you'd rather play? I don't want to like feel
no,
like I'm strong.
No, let's do
this.
Okay. It's the pop song of the year, man.
Yes. Fresh off their win at the Whammies for pop song of the year, 7,000 Apart in the studio at Nightlight performing Runaway.
Nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again for the first time.
that, then lose that. Never choose facts to be used that. You're invasive, can't be tracing or racing. I'm not facing to those channels anymore, no. Well, I don't fit in anymore. So, hey! It's not nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again. For the first time when I'm all alive. Hey! It's not nice to see you, but it's nice to meet you again. For the first time when I'm all alive. Breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it out again. Breathe it in, breathe it in, breathe it out again. Breathe it in, breathe it in, you'll run away. A run away.
Wow, that was fantastic. Listen, I
thank
tried
you for
to,
the backup there.
I tried to carry you guys with my haze.
That was all you. Okay. You can take all the credit for
ladies
all that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the song of the year at this year's Whammies and 7,000 Apart. What is it?
The pop song. We
pop
didn't
song.
Win song of the
okay.
year, but you
well,
know,
it's
close
still
enough.
A song of a year. We don't have to yeah, qualify okay, okay. it.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Amelie, do you do a lot of, you do improving with your voice sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, do you change things up just to keep it interesting or what you're feeling in the moment?
Oh, yeah. Especially if people aren't listening. Then like
then when does that real ever cool happen? Stuff. Come on.
No, we did a country club gig. That was one of Jasmine's like first gigs with us. She was running sound. And people were eating, like they weren't really paying attention the first hour. Then they got like started dancing and singing along and whatever. But the first hour was pretty slow. And so just to keep it interesting for Jasmine, I was like really like messing with the melodies and stuff. So yeah, just to keep her not too bored.
Keep her on her toes. Yeah. Well, now I can say like when your name comes up, like, hey, have you heard of 7,000 Apart? Mm-hmm. I can say, yeah, we collaborated.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've been singing with them. Yeah.
On the live version, the feature, yeah. Featured artist.
If you guys can, well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk for a couple more minutes, and I'd like to have you guys play us out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll thank you before we do that. Yeah. But Conrad, you got that?
Yes.
The K-Man is into this. Okay. So tell us again, in case people are listening for the first time, how you guys met, because I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So we actually met because Amelie was a foreign exchange student from Stockholm, Sweden. And we met here in Green Bay at Preble High School, my senior year of high school in music theory class. And so we just became really good friends over music that school year. And we're like trying to decide whether or not we should date because she was going back to Sweden. And we were like, you know, should we try this, you know? And we did. And we ended up dating. But at the end of the school year, we had to decide again, do we want to keep trying this, you know, despite being forced into a long distance relationship? And we did that as well. And we ended up being long distance for 3 whole years where we were 7,000 kilometers apart, 4,462.5 miles.
Ish.
Ish.
I still think that number is wrong, but I keep saying it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It worked out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The distance doesn't matter. That's so great. And you guys really are on your way. You just like, I mean, honest to God, even the last time you guys were here and now I just, you have like a strut or a bounce in your step. Like you just have that confidence of a band on the move.
Well, I appreciate it. It's beginning of tour. Just invite us back at the end of tour and we'll have aged at least 15 years.
Yeah. Conrad will give you a piggyback ride. Jasmine, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got that early tour glow.
Okay.
Early tour.
That's good. All right. So before we play another song, what do you guys do when you're done writing songs, you're done touring, whatever? What do you watch on TV?
Well, we just watched Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah.
Jasmine and I.
Okay.
We got together with my host mom, the lady who hosted me when I was here as an exchange student.
That's nice.
And we watched it with her puppies. So that was good. That was really cozy.
Puppies are good, yeah.
John loves Star Wars, so we're watching the new Star Wars show.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Oh, The Acolytes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You like it, John?
John loves all Star Wars. Okay, but here's the thing.
I've heard
John
mixed
loves
up.
Everything that's Star Wars, though.
Yeah. It's like pizza to me. Even bad pizza is still
it's
like
still pizza.
It's still pizza,
pizza,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's like
right.
You can't see, but I have a Star Wars tattoo. So it's like, you know,
he's committed.
It's a thing. It was my first tattoo.
I'm not going to ask where the Star Wars tattoo is to discuss your level.
It's
oh, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. No.
That's one of them.
It's one of them. I have a few, you know.
All right. All right, very cool. Well, this has been fun, you guys. And I hope if you have any energy when your summer tour is done, I hope you come back and see me again. You're welcome here anytime.
We'd love to come back anytime.
Yeah, you guys are so much fun. And I hope you just crush it at Summerfest, and I'm sure you will.
Thank you so much.
And when's your next local date here in Green Bay?
Very good question. Let me just take 1 second to look it up. We are going to be in Appleton on Sunday. And then we're in Sister Bay. I know that's not like super local, but in Sister Bay at Al Johnson's.
Al Johnson's.
Because Al Johnson's, the Swedish restaurant, is turning 75 years.
Really?
So we're playing for that, which is very, very exciting.
We go there a lot. I love Durk. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then we're just going to be next door at Hagemeister here on July 3rd.
Maybe we'll come and see you there too. That's fun. All right. 7,000 Apart. Thank you guys so much. They're going to play us out. Whatever you guys indulge me with Runaway. So whatever you're feeling. Thank you so much, you guys.
Cool. We're going to end it with no is a nice word because we all have to learn how to say no.
Indeed.
Am I already in your past? Did you know this wouldn't last? Already broke. Did we go up in smoke? My burnout cigarette that you won't light up again. A silhouette you already regret. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it, no. Am I stuck on the other side? Do I ever cross your mind? Never there. Oh, do you care? Are we ready to move on? Am I already gone? Just look at me. Will you see? No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No, no is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No.
Slow dancing during the break. It is Barry Manilow's birthday. He is 82 this week, folks. Pretend you don't like him, but I don't believe you. Mike Schmidt is my guest. You can check out his 40-year-old boy podcast. Very funny stand-up comedian. And I got to tell you, all this talk about David, it's emasculating, Mike. This guy can do everything. He's like a Renaissance man. I don't even know if I can.
How do you think I feel? He's I have a show where I think I'm real funny, and he does all the other. He does the cool stuff. All I do is talk. I saw Barry Manilow in Green Bay.
No kidding.
Yeah, at the Gamblers play,
the mall?
Wherever that is.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
No, yeah, I saw him perform. I didn't see him at the mall.
He was getting glamour shots. He needed new.
He was
pictures.
Busking. He had a little Casio tone. He was out there. He had a little watch that played a tune. David Sanborn on the sax.
I was telling Conrad and my last guest that growing up on the northwest side of Chicago in the city with a bunch of cops kids. Barry Manilow was not Barry Manilow. He was barely man enough. That's what they called him.
I worked in a record store where we had to write the labels. Well, there was this old school thing. You'd put a label on the album with the name of the artist and the price. And when someone bought it, you would have to peel the label. It was serrated on the sides or whatever, perforated. And you would pull it off. And then you would save that. And so all day at the end of the day, you knew who sold. It was like old school billboard, whatever needed. And my Brian, who I worked with, would write Barely Man Enough on all of Barry Manilow's tickets.
It wasn't just the guys
no,
in my neighborhood. That was a nationwide thing.
Made it to the suburbs. Yeah.
I love them.
I love them too. I love them that I, again, I can't hear Weekend in New England without being wrecked. I can't hear Mandy without one time my ma had friends in Cicero. So you know how Chicago is. Like, we went over there and they're going to, my ma and her friends, they all played canasta till 3 a.m. while we ran around with the lights out in the basement playing Don't Run Into the Cement Post. You know how that works.
Right.
And you got pizza and fried shrimp at midnight while you watch Creature Features. It was fantastic. And they had a jukebox. Kay and Bill had a jukebox and we played Mandy over and I'm 9, 10 maybe. And we just kept playing it over and over. And it's just emblazoned in my brain, man. He was great. People can say whatever they want. He's great.
He is great. And it's funny because like now all I have is the Simpsons rendition of Mandy when Homer's putting on deodorant because he has a crush on a coworker and he's singing, "Oh, Mindy, you came and you gave without flaking," and like goes out of this whole thing.
No, man, that is beautiful. Those are great songs. Weekend in New England is so crazy. I write the songs. They're all, again, he's got, I mean, my mom had the double vinyl where he had the live album and he had that medley of the commercials he'd written. You know what I mean? Even that, he made that a hit for right. Christ's sake, right. You know, him singing literally Barry Manilow singing "By Men" and it goes to the chart for some reason. It's great.
Oh, that's what my first AM radio was. I Write the Songs and the Bay City Rollers are the two songs that were I remember hearing. Oh. And it was, and oh my God. And Barry Manilow. Okay. You said Weekend in New England. There's the line in there that says "Long Rocky Beaches and You by the Bay." Mm. So I told a couple college buddies that he was in a relationship with Yul Brynner and that song was for Yul Brynner. And he's actually saying "Long Rocky Beaches and Yul by the Bay." And they totally believed me. They're like, "Wow, I never would have caught that." It's because I made
thanks,
it up.
Pete. you're the resident Manilow expert. You're interpreting the lyrics. Everybody's like, "God, thank man. Good thing Schwab is here.
He is on it. I don't care if he's seen heavy metal or not. He knows everything about Manilow." So Mike, let's get to Tarantino, man. I've been reading all this stuff about his 10th movie project and there, you know, hits hiccups and we don't know when it's happening and all this kind of stuff. He says he's only directing 10 films. I believe him, but I got to think he's not going to stop. He's going to do something, either produce or still write or something. Don't you think he's a young guy?
Yeah, he's not stopping. Things are fuzzy now. He was doing the 10th movie. It was called The Movie Critic. And
yeah, movie
supposedly
critic, right.
Brad Pitt had been cast, but he wasn't the lead. And there were rumors he was trying to get Cruise to be the guy.
Okay.
There was all sorts of stories. And then all of a sudden he just announced, "Yeah, man, it's not my movie. I'm not doing it." Which he's been known to do that. Hmm. You know, I mean, when the script for Hateful Eight leaked, he was like, "I'm not doing it now." He scrapped the whole idea. And then eventually he revisited and said, "All right." I think it takes him 4.5 years, 5 years, 6 years to write a film. So I think he felt scrapping 6 years of his work would have been foolish, but he's also impetuous and he can make his own rules. You know, he can do what he wants.
Right.
What I genuinely thought was I did believe that would be the last movie he directed for film release for another studio. I thought the 10th movie was going to be his farewell to that. And then either Amazon or Netflix would give him $300 million to be an in-house filmmaker to do whatever he wanted to do, develop series, write movies, and then they would be exclusively released on the streaming services as a perk to get more people to join. Like we are getting, like almost like in, you know, you can see with entertainment now, it almost like to sign him to exclusivity is almost like a baseball team signing a free agent.
Yeah, right.
Where you improve your whole organization by bringing in this guy. And so I truly thought he was going to be the one, because, you know, Scorsese does the films for Netflix.
Yeah.
And without as much fanfare as there should be, quite frankly, because he's a reigning auteur and people should celebrate it because we all become so snarky and we make fun of everything. It doesn't get the level of import it should. But he has enough of a cultural footprint that I thought he would be a game changer in that way. And then he scrapped the 10th movie and I was like, oh boy. You know, I don't know what he's going to do. And also he's got a thing going on now where, you know, he's married and I think he has one kid now. He's married and he lives in Israel half the time.
Tarantino.
And yeah, he's really? Married to a woman. And I don't want to talk out of school here. Perhaps our good friend Conrad can look it up. Go ahead, Double K. But it was like, there've been pictures of him with Israeli troops, like online.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like before October 7th.
Huh.
Okay, I don't know about since, but he's been supportive verbally. And so then there's that issue where people are angry because, you know how it is with the world now. I see why people can be angry with someone's stance, but then they want to say that, you know, it invalidates what he does as an artist and all of these things. And again, that's a far deeper conversation that you want to have on this show, I'm sure. But So I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. When he canceled the 10th movie, I was kind of like, I didn't know if it had anything to do with what's going on with his wife and where he lives and all of that situation. Or if he just decided, you know what, man, this isn't doing it for me. I'm going to pivot and do a different thing. I don't know.
I thought they just said, I thought I just read something the other day where the talks are starting again. But it's interesting what you say, because he could still do, if he goes that route where he just gets the $300 million contract, he can still finish his 10th movie and say, well, no, I did 10 movies. I stuck to it. Now I'm doing movies here. And it's still, right. It's a qualifier, but you know, so what? I just want him to keep making films.
But he's also a guy who always, like I've seen him, I've met him like just once and it was totally brief and ridiculous. I'll tell this story. My friend did a current Quentin Tarantino burlesque show.
Do you want to
and invited
hold on.
Him?
If this is a classic Schmitty story, let's wait. We have to do
classic.
News. Well, I'm just saying, I don't want to have to cut That's you fine. Off in the middle of it. So let's come back with that.
Sure.
And then we'll do your, I want to ask you your favorite Tarantino film, your least favorite, assuming that you still love your least favorite because you love Tarantino. Right. But yes. Mike Schmidt is my guest. He is on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bring a friend, join the crowd.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Mike Siegel will be here at 8:20. Talking about 80s sitcoms and the greatest sitcoms of all time, greatest sitcom actors, actresses. We'll have an in-depth conversation with Mike about the things that make us laugh. Right now, I'm very excited to announce my next guests. These guys have been out of the country for a while, and they were on Nightlight before they left. And you guys have been back a little while now, I guess.
Yeah.
About a month.
Four weeks, I think, almost.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
7,000 Apart joins me in the studio. This is great to have you guys here. John and Amelie, and you have your...
Yeah, Jasmine is here.
Jasmine is here.
This is our bassist, so yeah.
So you've almost not doubled in size since you've been here, but close.
50% increase, yeah.
50% increase, yeah.
That's pretty good. How are you digging it, Jasmine?
I'm enjoying it so far. So it's a lot to do, but I'm seeing so many places, meeting so many nice people. So
is this your first time in Wisconsin?
Yes, it
is. Oh, wow. Is it at all like Sweden?
No. Well, I mean, there are roads, you know, there are trees, so.
Oh, it's like night and day.
The temperature is a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
Here?
Just a tad.
It's been really muggy.
Oh, yeah.
Brutal. I'll take this over winter, but still. It's good to have you guys back. And so how was Sweden? Tell us what that was like
over
there.
It's been good. Yeah, this spring. So we were there. Last time we were here, we were just here for like a December tour type thing. And then we went back to Sweden. And yeah, we did a bunch of shows. Started playing more. And that's how we met Jasmine too, is we started doing more shows in Sweden and we needed a new bassist. And we went to high school together. So after I was here as an exchange student, I had to go back and do my senior year again.
Oh my God.
Sweden doesn't accept the American schooling system. And yeah, that's how I met Jasmine. And then I knew that she was still playing and because she has her own band as well. And we needed a new bassist. So I hit her up. And it turns out she's also half American. So she can come and work here, which is absolutely incredible. Yeah.
So we're like, you want to come to the US for 3 months and tour with us? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fun. Oh, that's great. How are you half American?
My dad's from New York, so I have that going for me.
So you're jaded already. So that's so great. So what do you got? Like, if you need a drummer, then you have to go back and comb the high schools again? How does that, only recruit people that you've
this was actually really easy because I just asked Jasmine, I'm like, do you know any good drummers? And she's like, well, my brother is the best drummer I know. So in Sweden, we play with her drummer as well.
Her brother is the drummer.
And then here we play with Carly, who's been with us for a few years now, and she's incredible too.
Yeah. You know, that was one of my questions for you guys is, I know you perform sometimes just the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How often do you have more accompaniment than just the two of you?
I would say it's about 50-50. I haven't really looked at the stats for this tour, but normally it's...
Normally it's about 50-50. Yeah.
And how is that? Do you like that better when you have more of an arrangement?
I think it's really fun, like having other people to play with as well.
So
and
fun.
So then you
and it becomes a bigger sound.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You get new, it's a new experience because like we've done so many duo shows, so it's nice to play with other people as well. So
we still love playing just two of us because we can be a little bit more free. We can take more requests. We can like be a little
bit more
silly.
Input musically as well.
Yeah.
But playing with the band is still our favorite. Yeah.
How do you like playing with them, Jasmine?
Oh, it's been great. There's a lot of...
It's just horrible.
Yeah, what's she going to say, right?
She's like, please don't send me home.
I don't know.
No, I mean, there's so many surprises all the time, which keeps it interesting. And it's just fun. There's a lot of good energy on stage. There's just a lot of good material. So I'm pleased so far.
It's fun to play new places too, I would imagine.
Oh,
definitely. Yeah.
It's a completely different like music atmosphere here in general.
Is there?
Like live music, actual, like people actually come and listen to it, which is nice. We don't
just
have
for
that
the music.
At home.
Really? Yeah. What's going on at home when you guys are
We playing? Just don't
like
have a
arm
lot
wrestling
of
or what?
We don't have a lot of like casual music venues.
Okay.
So most of our venues in Sweden are like the big theaters or the big arenas, the clubs. There's not a lot of like restaurants and bars or like music series.
Yeah.
It comes alive a little bit more during summer, but it's still pretty rare. Yeah. It's not like Wisconsin at all.
Huh. Are the crowds different or is it just the venues that are different?
Very different.
Yeah. Swedes are a little bit more held back and polite. I would equate like Swedish audiences to like older Wisconsin audiences.
Okay.
They're very polite and they listen and, you know, and they might come up to you after, but they're not going to
like. But it's maybe just like polite for, you know. It's just different now.
Yeah, different for sure. Yeah.
Well, as long as they're not heckling and throwing stuff, I would imagine.
No tomatoes yet.
No tomatoes,
I remember when I was touring and doing stand-up, I hated the audience members that, like, you'd do a joke, and they would just go, like, nod and smile.
Just nodding
don't
your head.
Don't nod and smile. Even if it's a fake laugh, give me something.
I know. And it's funny because you don't know, like, you can... Because, being on stage and especially during, like, summer, you see all the faces.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, like, blinding lights in your face. So you see every single person. And you'll find someone who's, they just look so bored. And you try, all you can to just make them smile or get them into it or sing along. And then sometimes those are the people that come out after and be like, thank you so much.
This is the best time I've ever had.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're really?
Like,
oh, my God. That's so funny you say that because I was out with friends one night after a show and the club manager had his buddy in town and we were hanging out for like an hour, had a couple beers, listened to some music, just talking. And he goes like, this is the most fun I've ever had. And honest to God, I wanted to give the guy a hug. I'm like, what in the hell has your life been like? This is like the dullest night I've ever had.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it's terrible. But who knows? You got to perform anyway, though, because even if if there's five people in the crowd.
We always give
100%. You give everything
you can. They paid to see you. Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you get inspired more when you travel to write stuff, music, lyrics?
I do coming back here, too, because I just get like that energy of like you get immediate reaction. Like it's different if you put out recorded music because you might get like a comment or something.
Okay.
But if you play a new song live and like do it night after night and it's a new song, you get like immediate reaction from people like this sucks or this is good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
So it's kind of fun. And then that inspires me a lot to write more.
Yeah.
Too, I think.
I'm a little bit more like when I'm in tour mode, I'm in tour mode. So either I'm on stage or I'm going to a show or I'm prepping for a show or I am in bed. That's like, it's either or. It's like very...
You're not writing or... Okay. What setting makes you want to write? Like, I know some writers have that. I'm more inspired in Wisconsin or LA or wherever.
I think right now I'm really inspired. I have a whole story. I don't know if we can go
lay
into
it,
yet.
Stretch.
Okay. So, we just kind of pre-inherited my grandpa's old house from the 1600s.
In Sweden?
In Sweden.
Oh my gosh.
In the middle of Sweden, in the place
called
Dalarna.
It's like older than the U.S.
It's literally older than the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so far, like, that's really inspiring to me. We just wrote a song when we were there this last time, and it just came so, like, easy and naturally, and it was, So I think that's definitely one of it, like, one of those places that I'm like, I can chill out. Yeah. I can actually, like,
There's no air in it. It's just, like, just writing music.
500-year-old house. Is it a fixer? Or
is it my grandpa took very, very good care of it. There's definitely, like, things that need to be done and things that could be done. Like, we have so many, like, plans and dreams for this house. But it's livable, which is
that's
great.
That's so cool.
It has a bathroom. It has electricity. Like, we're good.
That is great. Do you guys want to do a song? And then we can talk some more after.
Let's do it. Do you want to... Which one stand do you want to do?
We got about,
let's just stand together.
We got about five and a half minutes. Is that cool? Or should we do it when we come back? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, this is 7,000 Apart in studio on Nightlight.
Been running, running, running for some time. I never want to stop because I lose my mind. Been praying, praying, praying for the end. I'm tired of living this way, always feeling half dead. So come and stay with me, won't you come and stay the night? Come, stay with me, won't you stay with me? Let's stand together cause the sky is falling. The sky is falling tonight. Let's stand together, loneliness is calling, loneliness is calling, and I don't wanna watch my world go up in flames, don't wanna watch my whole life change. Let's stand together, cause the sky is falling, the sky is falling tonight. I've been sleeping, sleeping, sleeping through all story. I need to wake up and live today. So come and stay with me. Won't you come and stay the night? Come, stay with me. Won't you stay? A self-care kit. Everyone keeps telling me, open up your eyes and see, you can be the remedy. The remedy. Yeah, the remedy. Let's stand together, cause the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Very nice. That's great.
Thank
What's
you
that
so
song
much.
Called?
Let's Stand Together. It's from it's from our latest album, Failure Feelings.
Nice. Where can people hear that if they
want to? Wherever they want. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon.
Very wherever. Nice. Where did the inspiration come from for that?
Oh, that's like a story for another day, I think. But generally, it's about taking care of each other, and it's about asking for help.
Nice.
Our whole album, Feel Your Feelings, was about mental health in one way or another. And this song was about daring to ask to take care of you. You know what I mean?
Getting, like, it's just so, getting help.
So yeah. Easy that we, on our hardest days, we think we have to go through those hardest days alone when we actually all have people who love us. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you guys, like I've talked to other, there was a mental health film festival recently in Wisconsin. And I think like the creative arts or artistry is such a natural way of therapy.
Yes.
In dealing with mental health. Mm-hmm. But who would have thought, and I'm sure a lot of artists deal with that, but that you could pull inspiration from mental health and write beautiful music. That's so 100%. Cool.
I mean, that's how so many, like how we and so many of our friends and artists we look up to, that's how they put, you know, their feelings into words and into music. And it is such a, like,
process the world,
yeah,
in
exactly,
general. Yeah,
exactly. And it's such a healing way of dealing with those feelings, is through music or through art.
Because everybody, I mean, there are different levels of it, obviously, but everyone has some level of mental health they need to tend to. Absolutely. You have this on your summer tour brochure with the tiny microscopic font. but it's nice that you have Amelie and John's best... I took my glasses.
Best mental health.
Best mental health. And this is so cool. I think.
Thank you.
I haven't seen that before.
Yeah. So we awesome. Actually, yeah. What we did was we partnered with Center for Suicide Awareness.
Okay.
An organization based in Kenosha. And we met them last year and they were like, we have to work together. And we were like, we'd love that. We wanted to
find a partner to work with. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we did that last year and we've been doing some really good work with them.
I'm Pete Schwab. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late. Welcome
back. Jim from Appleton says, most favorite vegetable is broccoli. Least favorite is cauliflower. Strange, since they are basically sisters in the vegetable family. I did not know that. I like them both. They're both superfoods. You got to force yourself to eat this stuff, folks. Frank, do you have a favorite vegetable or least favorite vegetable?
Well, who doesn't?
I don't know. I try to eat them all.
I believe my favorite vegetable would be broccoli.
All right. Wow. Broccoli's got a lot of votes.
I don't know why. It has florets. That's why.
Have you ever eaten it blanched?
They tickle the tongue, don't they?
Yeah. I the first time I heard that, I think it was my mother-in-law said, I'm blanching broccoli. And I just thought that sounded like it was 1951 and it just was so bizarre. So you were talking about the Alamo and your love for the Alamo.
Yeah, it's doing all those books, and it's only books on the cultural aspect. I'm not a real historian. I'm a film historian. So I've written books on Alamo movies. I did a book called Alamo, a Cultural History. And then that got me invited. At that time, Ron Howard was going to direct the Alamo, and I and several other historians were gathered together to spent a day with them talking about it, and then I ended up getting a part in the movie, a little part.
Yeah,
but I got a close up, so there's something.
I remember that. That was really cool. Did you get to meet Ron Howard?
Yeah, we spent all day with him. Yeah,
I don't know him, but I love
him.
And
then he dropped out of it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. He produced it eventually, but John Lee Hancock directed it.
Okay.
And I think did a great job, and it was really something. And they actually took some of my advice about things to do. So it was mighty cool for me. Yeah.
John Lee Hancock, that's a better name for a guy producing a film about the West, I think, than Ron Howard.
Yeah, you would think. He's from Texas, too. So,
but you did show me that. I think you either showed me the scene or a still from the movie or something. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I brought it in. Yeah. You know, if you have 1 second of screen time, you may as well show it to somebody.
Exactly. Frank, what we do on this show nightly is talk about what we're watching, movies and TV. Is there anything you can recommend from a summer blockbuster standpoint or something you're binge watching on TV?
What I've been watching on TV, there are several series. I just finished Ripley on Netflix. And another Netflix show that I love, and I bet that almost everybody who hears me say this will hate it if they watch it, but it's called Copenhagen Cowboy.
Hmm.
And it's ostensibly a Danish film, but it's like David Lynch if he was thinking about getting weird. And it's just, I love it so much. It's just so peculiar. Long, slow pans across the landscape. And,
yeah,
you know, every time somebody's asked a question, they just stare at the other person for about 40 seconds and then answer. It's just everything I love.
You know, you say that. I thought Ripley was very slow moving, and but I liked it. I thought the pace was slow, but it lent itself to the subject. It lent itself to Andrew Scott's voice. It was like a perfect match tonally. Like, I just thought it was great. So you're saying Copenhagen Cowboy is even slower than Ripley?
Oh, even slower, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It has interspersed action here and there.
Okay.
But by and large, people are very deliberate. But that's been great fun. I like Outer Range on Amazon Prime.
That's on my
kind
list.
Of a science fiction Western in a way. And but mostly what I watch is the Criterion Channel. That to me has been the greatest gift of all for a movie guy.
Yeah.
Because it just has just wonderful stuff. Too much stuff. I'll never live long enough to see it all. So
it's so good to talk to you again, buddy. This has been fun. I really appreciate
great
you
talking to you.
Yeah. I wish you lived closer, but we'll do this again, I hope, because I want to talk to you about your time on The Bachelor one of these days. So maybe,
you know, I often wonder how long does the NDA last?
I don't know, because but as soon
I've
as it
really
does,
got
you
some
have to
stories about that thing.
Yeah, I want to hear it all too. So let's look into that a little bit. It'll be fun to let's do this again soon. Thanks so much tonight, Frank. Okay. It's been great. That's Frank Thompson talking to us about Bob and Ray, the Alamo, film history, and so much good stuff. Truly a great guy. Thank you, Frank. Thank you also to Piet Levy for being on the show. Thank you for your texts. Great text about vegetables, good and bad. And I'm going to leave this little nugget that I read before I came here today. Conrad, do you know where the phrase friend with benefits comes from?
I don't know where it originated from, but I've seen the movie.
Well, that doesn't count.
I actually don't know.
So what do you think? All right. So here's where it comes from. Alanis Morissette gets credit in the Oxford English Dictionary for creating the phrase friends with benefits. She used it in the lyrics of her song Head Over Feet, I don't know it, in 1995. Quote, you're my best friend with benefits. How do you like that?
That's interesting.
Now here's what I'm trying to do. You can leave the station tonight and go to a singles bar and drop that nugget and boom. You hear me?
They're going to look at me like I'm a madman.
You never know. Frank was talking about the Criterion Channel. Here's another interesting thing I saw. Michael Crichton is the only person who's ever had a book, a TV show, and a movie all top the charts at the same time. Well, like, seriously, what motivation do you have to work after you've done that? It's all downhill. Like, he should have spaced it out. Guess I'm on an island here. Okay. Hey, tomorrow night on the show, folks, as I mentioned before, Mike Schmidt, host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast. Very funny storyteller. Mike is always a blast. And Lisa Hale, who covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. I hope to see everybody back here. Conrad, this was pretty good, right?
Yeah. You know, you got to learn a lot about vegetables tonight.
Vegetables, movies, what we got it all.
What else?
Inside Out 2. I have already made the pledge I'm going to see Inside Out and Inside Out 2 before the weekend. So hold me to that, my friend. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.